Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of April 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And a bit later in the program, we'll check in on the cash grain market with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. As we close out our time today, we'll discuss the weather forecast, in particular as it relates to agriculture in South America, corn in Brazil, and soybeans in Argentina. That with Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Oh, and I'll ask you one more time to dial this number, 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org and make a contribution in support of agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Nearby May corn at $3.87, up 6 1/4. July at $3.91 1/4, 6 1/2 higher. And December corn at $3.94 1/2, up 4 cents for the day. May beans at $10.18, down 1. July down 1 at $10.27 1/2. And November beans at $10.08 1/2, a nickel higher. January at $10.09 1/2, up 5 1/4. Bean meal futures at $33.05, down 57 cents. That's actually bean oil. Bean meal at $33.30 1/2, up $5.40. Wheat futures in the May contract up a penny and a quarter at $4.75 1/2. July soft red at $4.85 1/2, up 2 cents. And hard red down 3 at $4.61 in the May. July at $4.74 1/2, 2 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago nearby April at $122.50, down $3.50. June at $114.80, $3 lower. Feeder cattle April contract 77 1/2 cents lower at $145.52 1/2. The May at $140.57 1/2, down $4.50. And lean hogs for the day 95 cents higher at $77.50 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media, brought to you in part by you. It's listeners like you that help bring this ag programming to the airways. And if you can help us out today at 217-244-9455. That would be really fantastic. Online at willag.org and hit the donate button at the top of the page, or willpledge.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets at this hour now. Futures are trading like this in the energies. Nearby crude oil at $46. That's up 68 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures at $1.53 1/2 is down 0.3 cents. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.59 8 cents is 0.7 cents higher. And diesel fuel at $1.40 6 cents is up 2 6 cents. Natural gas for the day at $2.07 6 cents is down 7 7 tenths of a cent. The financials are currently trading the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,841. It's 122 points lower for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar is down 63.634. That's at 93.725 for the day. And the gold futures at $1,266 are up $16.40. Per troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 30% chance of showers, mostly after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy, high of 66. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers before 10 in the evening, mostly cloudy, to low of 47. Friday, mostly cloudy and 63 degrees with a north wind at 9 miles an hour. And then Friday night, a 30% chance of rainfall after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 48 degrees. On Saturday, Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, a high near 62, north winds at 14 to 17, gusting to 23. And Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, a low of around 51 degrees. As we look forward into Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, cloudy, and a high of 64.
Made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us to talk about the marketplace. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing just fine. We got a beautiful day down here in the low 80s. Wish we could have the summer the rest of the way like this, but I know that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, eventually I'll call down there and it'll be about 104 degrees outside, and that'll be the
I may come to Illinois then.
That might be right. Hey, so I want to talk to you about the monthly charts. Let's see. So we finished corn up today. Where at? And the May contract at 387. So, Matt, I think no matter what happens tomorrow, we'll have a monthly reversal to the upside. Is that right?
Yeah, barring any major disaster overnight that would create a limit down move of some kind. Corn's going to have a monthly reversal to the upside, and it could easily close above the downtrend drawn off of the 14 high and connected to the 15 high. So we could see if we get a good solid close above 88, 89, 90 on the May corn, that would make the corn chart look real exciting, at least from the technical perspective, we do have a major 40 to 45 week low in place, and the market is headed higher as we go on into deeper into the growing season.
Does your gut tell you that this is going to be the case?
Well, my Ouija board for some time has been talking, a late spring, late winter, early spring low, then followed by a rally into late summer, early fall. And I guess I'm still in that camp. I think when you look at the corn chart, we've had three monthly reversals to the upside, and I think third one's the charm. We started out with a monthly reversal there back in 14 when we made that low at 18 and a half. We had a monthly reversal up, and then we had another one last year, and then now this is the third one over the last couple of years that we've had one. And I think this is the one that means that the corn market is going to put together a much more meaningful rally than anyone kind of expected any time here over the past year or so.
So if we do that, where do we go?
Well, the first target is going to be, I think, last year's highs, which is up in around that 447 area or so. That's going to be the target to see if we can punch that out. And since we have had a series of higher lows, then that would be what the technicians are going to shoot for, is whether or not it's going to be the May contract or the July contract. But that's going to be the target. And if we can go up there and punch that out, then that really opens the door then to a much more meaningful retracement of this big decline that we've had off of our 2012 highs. Who knows where we go from there. The key driving force, I still think, is weakening of the dollar. I think the dollar is going to continue to weaken. And if anything, I think we could have a currency crisis and the dollar go into a tailspin of some kind. But it does definitely is going to keep us competitive in the world market. You can see what our export sales were today, a big number. I think that fundamentally justifies what the May rally has been all about. So I got to be quite excited from a technical point of view and a cyclical point of view that this market has some room to grow as we go through the growing season. When you look at the monthly soybean chart, that tells me that somebody got their clock clean being short soybeans. It's been a straight up move during the month of May. It really stands out. You're breaking out of a sideways pattern in soybeans. I had a sneaky feeling we're going to look back at these $8.40 beans or $8.50 beans as a major low. And I think people might be surprised how high beans may go as we go down the road. We got a long ways to go to have a meaningful retracement of that big decline that we had off of the 12 high.
Well, let's start through this process. I want to take you to the dollar chart. Tell me where your downside targets are in the dollar. We're trading, what, around 93 at the moment?
Well, I've had an objective, at least initially, to go down into the lower 90s. So I've been kind of looking, at 91, 92. Then maybe a period of stabilization, and then we'll kind of go from there. I mean, today's economic news showed that the economy, I think, only grew something like 0.5%. So the economy is not a ball of fire. And that means, and then Yellen basically told us a month or two ago, I lose track of time, but, the Fed got really spooked after they raised interest rates 0.25 back last fall, how the stock market declined after that. So it's always been my observation that Yellen would not raise interest rates during an election year. I mean, my observation of Fed policy during presidential election years, they like to be in the back seat of the church. They don't want to be up in the front seat. They don't want to really even be on the radar screen. And so if she would decide to start raising interest rates, I think that would dim hopes of the Democratic Party electing a Democratic president, because I think that would send the stock market into a tailspin, which I think ultimately is going to happen. It's just a matter of when that bubble bursts. The bond bubble is going to burst one of these days, too. So whether or not it holds together through 16 here or it waits till 17, but something's going to come crashing down pretty hard one of these days. Now, that's just my observation, and I could clearly be way off target on that, but I do think there's some big bubbles in the financial complex that's going to create some turbulence. And I think you're seeing money managers throughout the world wanting to own real assets. And corn and soybeans and wheat is part of that asset accumulation. That is something people do have to eat around the world. You can't eat paper money that the central bankers keep printing. Paper money is, and I think you're seeing with negative interest rates outside the United States, people are losing confidence in paper money. And you can look at the price of gold today. I think it's up like $17 an ounce, and it's been climbing higher basically since Christmas. And I think you're just going to see a lot of that movement of money. They printed so much of it, they don't know what to do with it. So, I think it's going into real assets, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon at the closing market report. If you'd like to help us out right now, we're not very far away from that $90,000 goal. That's our fundraising effort for the spring. And we can finish this off. I think we were around $3,000 away when we started this program. Let's see how far we can get in the process. But I do need your help if you listen online, on the web, on air, on one of our radio stations. questions, dial in right now, 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org. It doesn't matter when you're listening. I know we're going to need your help, and we'll finish this off really quickly. Make your pledge. It's quick. It's simple. It's easy. American Express, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, all accept it. You can just tell them you're pledging. It's all there, ready to go, 217-244-9455. One more time, 217-244-9455, and pledge your financial support today or go online to willpledge.org. Hey, thanks so much. The Ag Economist at the U of I have updated their work predicting the new era long-range cash prices for corn and soybeans. 7 years ago, Darrell Good and University of Illinois colleague Scott Irwin predicted the average cash price for central Illinois corn and soybeans would be $4.60 and $11.20. It started with a simple idea. The last time the price of corn and soybeans had really changed was during the 1972-73 crop marketing year, says Scott Irwin.
Right. The first era was $1.28. The second era was $2.36. And so what we said is, okay, the price jumped about 90%. We took that as kind of our starting point. And then we realized, well, you know, we think that something of that magnitude of a jump actually does indeed make sense, given what at the time what we were seeing in terms of the market, what other modeling exercises that agricultural economists were doing. And so we said, yeah, let's those seem pretty reasonable estimates, so we'll go with those. And so we started with the equivalent numbers now would be 435 on corn and 1044 on soybeans.
As it turns out, those are pretty close to the actual national average monthly cash price over the first 8 years of the new era. Corn has averaged $4.39 and soybeans $10.61. The fundamental question today, says Irwin, is are these numbers still good, or was the new era a temporary uptick in the market? He is confident the numbers are solid, but cautions it was a one-time move up from the old era. Pragmatically, he means farmers cannot market their crop today the way they did as the move was happening.
And you were rewarded for waiting almost all the time to doing your marketing as that curve shifting was occurring. I think we see the kind of opportunities in the grain markets that might be presented as more of the traditional kind that our both Darrell and I's mentor Tom Hieronymus always called short crops with long market tails. So if you do get that situation emerging, let's say corn prices, I'm not forecasting this, but let's say we get fairly substantial production problems this summer in the U.S. and the corn market would rally to $5, we wouldn't expect that to last a long time.
There would be a quick and decisive production response in reaction to such a move in the market. A higher price then would need to be rewarded sooner rather than later. Well, the current rally in soybeans could be indicating just such a move. However, it would be based on poor weather conditions in South America rather than in the United States.
Warning lights are flashing that there may be opportunity ahead. Be prepared with a marketing plan that where you've got some really well thought through pricing targets that make sense for your farming operation, and be ready to execute when those opportunities arise.
You may read about the new era cash price Scott Irwin and Darrell Good are projecting on the FarmDoc Daily website. The address is www.farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. No, oh, have you dialed in yet? I hope so. If not, now is the time. Don't wait. I'd like to raise, I don't know, half of that $3,000, maybe a bit more than that if we can. We've got, what, $500, maybe a bit more than that in at the moment. So need your help, 217-244-9455. I kind of like that $120 level. But you got to do it. You need to do it right now so we can close this thing out for the afternoon. And we'll get on with the rest of the show. 217-244-9455 on online at WILLpledge.org or willag.org and hit donation up at the top of the page. Matt Bennett is here now. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He's with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Matt. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing really well. So we just got done talking with Dan Zwicker. He's predicating a lot of this move on the U.S. dollar and it getting weaker and export demand, which, of course, we had big numbers this morning for corn. However, there are some fundamentals that are happening, and they're all over the board. Let me drop some of them out, and then maybe you can talk about a few of them. So I'm thinking we already know about the soybean crop in Argentina was really wet. Harvest how actually they'll should continue. The corn crop in Brazil, we'll hear in just a minute from Mike Tenora, could be in big trouble for the second crop, or at least it sounds like that's the case. And then we've got the Chinese, who appear to have a better economy than we thought might be the case. And on top of all of that, we had 30% or twice the pace for planting this week for corn in the United States. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think there's a variety of things going on. I think what's been driving the market recently, as much as anything, has been the weather issues in South America. And so one would assume that, you know, some of the weather bulletins today that suggested that situation is still very dire as far as the safrinha crop in Brazil goes, you know, and they're even talking about some frost and situations like that in Argentina. You know, I think that that's probably still going to dominate the trade. Then whenever you come out with huge export numbers for corn, people are starting to realize that, you know, betting on the come on corn exports is paying off. And so we're quickly catching up to the pace of the USDA. And I think that that tells you demand's quite solid. And I think as far as planting pace goes, a large part of the U.S. is definitely going to be pushed back a little bit this week. In our area, we've had anywhere from an inch and a half to 4 inches, depending on who you talk to. And so I think it's going to be a while, and you better hope we don't get any follow-up rain as has been suggested for the weekend.
And then as you talk to producers, because you've got some time now and they are out of the field, about marketing new crop corn or soybeans, are they telling you anything first about making a switch to soybeans based on the price? And then what do you tell them if they do tell or if they are going to make a switch?
That's a great question. You know, I've only talked to a handful of guys that are suggesting that. I think that it's going on when you talk to different people in the seed industry. One thing I'll tell a producer, though, if you're making a decision to switch corn acres based upon the economics of the two, then you better be doing something as far as locking in some of the price on soybeans. So, you know, a lot of us were begging for $9 beans 6 weeks ago, and now we've got $10 beans. I don't know why a person wouldn't step in and at least sell a portion of their insured bushels, because they're going to be locking in profitability in just about any situation I've looked at this year. $10 November beans profitable.
Yeah, so we're a buck above the crop insurance price for beans or thereabout. But we haven't made crop insurance price yet for new crop corn.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a little bit above the spring price. And, you know, bottom line, as far as these corn goes, it's pretty tough for a lot of folks to make sub-$4 work on their farms. And so, you know, we're not real aggressive just yet on corn sales. I do think a lot of guys are in agreement that the weather pattern is setting up for the summer to potentially be a hazardous situation. If that's the case, I think the weather market should be quite volatile and offer some opportunities for a person to get the sales on the books at significantly better prices than what we're looking at today.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting in Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Blueberry Pie Day. Historians believe that pies can be traced back to the ancient Egyptians. Bakers to the pharaohs incorporated nuts, honey, and fruits in a bread dough, a primitive form of pastry. Drawings of this can be found etched on the tomb walls of Ramses II in the Valley of the Kings. When it comes to pie pastries, credit generally goes to Greece, where pies were made by wrapping a water flour paste around meat. In 1620, the Pilgrims brought their favorite pie recipes to the New World. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Franz Carl Achard was born. A German chemist, Achard invented a process for the large-scale extraction of table sugar from beets. In 1801, he opened the first sugar beet factory in what is today Poland. After further research, he refined his process by using a suggestion from the Institute in France, indicating that fuel costs could be lowered by pressing the beets without cooking. In 1789, the most famous mutiny in history took place on the English ship Bounty against Captain William Bligh. The ship was sailing to Tahiti on an agricultural mission to bring back breadfruit trees. The hope was that the breadfruit plants would grow well in the West Indies and thus become a cheap source of food for slaves. The mutiny came with more than 1,000 breadfruit plants aboard. Those plants never made it to the West Indies. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora from T-Storm in Chicago is here to take up the weather forecast. Mike, I'd like to start in South America. There's been a lot of talk about the second crop corn in Brazil. I know you've been watching it closely.
Well, we certainly have over here at T-Storm Weather. The big issue has been the lack of rain since late March. Most areas were much drier than normal and also much drier than 1 year ago. 1 year ago being important because that's kind of our best measuring stick for yield. We know what happened last year. We know how the second crop corn turned out last year, and we know how to compare that to what's going on this year. Now, as noted, it has been much drier and also much warmer than 1 year ago from late March through now. One thing that has changed, though, and we should note this, is that there was a significant rain over the last couple of days across the southern 30% of corn or so. So Paraná and southern Mato Grosso do Sul did see a pretty big rain. But here's the catch. Even after adding in that rain, as we look at this entire period of late March through the end of April, most locations were still drier to locally much drier than 1 year ago. But the true heart of dryness is actually further to the north in the states of Goiás and Mato Grosso. These two states alone account for about 52% of winter corn production, and they really did not see much in the way of rain over the last few days. They've seen very little in the way of rain over the last 3 to 4 to 5 weeks, depending on your exact location. And probably the most important thing is that there's no rain coming up. The dry season typically begins about now. It can begin a little bit earlier than now. It can begin a little bit later. Last year, it began later. Most areas last year saw around 4 to 6 inches of rain in these two key states of Goiás and Mato Grosso. Again, no rain coming up over the next 2 weeks. There really wasn't any rain this week. And you put all this together, and it's just hard to draw up a scenario where second crop corn gets out of this situation. So we expect that there will be yield losses in Brazil, locally significant, with the main uncertainty being how did the rain over the last few days help out that southern crop? Because leading into that period, things weren't looking too great there either.
Turn your attention to Argentina on the subject of rainfall. They've had a lot, though it appears it's dried out for them to finish harvest there for soybeans.
It has dried out, but the unusual thing is how cool it's been. Temperatures were averaging around 20 degrees below normal across the entire growing belt over the last couple of days. This cool period lasts for about 2 more days. Then things start to warm up Saturday and Sunday. We get into next week. Temperatures near normal with highs in the 70s, maybe even some 80s, and dry weather. But there will be a weak system moving through next weekend, about 7 to 10 days from now. That'll produce some light rain. We're not looking for anything major, but you know, we really want to see completely dry weather. I recall their soybean area has been the wettest since before 1980, and that's a pretty big statistic.
Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Dial that number. It's 217-244-9455. The pledge your financial support to our programming here, or you can go online at willpledge.org. That's willag.org, willpledge.org, or 217-244-9455. Donate today, and thank you so much.